people, purpose, patience. Just want to say thank you and welcome. Could have listened to anyone, but you're choosing to listen to me, and I greatly appreciate that. Hopefully you're allowing everything to come into your life and accept things as they come. Be prepared for any and everything, and know that any given moment, the world can change. Your life can change. Any given moment, you can smile. Any given moment, you can cry. So be prepared for it. And know that everything has purpose. Everything has meaning. And I always, always seek knowledge. Never be the one that has all the answers. Always be the one that asks a question. That being said, let's get this going. But I'm gonna get this going on a familiar note. The familiar note is me continuing to question what I feel. And I can't say I feel it, then say I'm frightened of it. But it's the gift, and I feel it is, but like I said, I'm still afraid of it a bit. Just being a good warm person, having a warm soul, being able to understand. And it's like I said, it's a good feeling, but at times I fear it because of certain times when it happens. So I always say, my wife tells me not to run from it, to accept it, to embrace it, but I don't want to come across as feeling like I'm something, so to speak. I'm deserving of this. This is my calling. I can help all. I'm not like that. I'm not arrogant like that. To think that everybody I come across I could change, because it's been told to me that I love broken people. And I don't see that. I just love all, and I can't really see myself just attracting broken people. Everybody in my life is in need of psychological, physical, emotional and psychological sort of go hand in hand, but repair, so to speak. I don't think that. But every time it happens, I do clam up and I do question it, a lot. So I'm on the bus yesterday, and right before you get on the bus, all of the people that were previously on it have to get off, because I'm getting on at a starting point, so to speak. And it's this homeless woman, and she's asking the bus driver, just let me get one more ride. Let me get one more ride. And he was like, no, I already let you on the bus. You didn't pay. You and your son and this and that. So and I'm understanding of all of this, and everybody is like, just let her stay on the bus. I mean, where else is she gonna go? She has a son. She has a child with her. The bus driver is caught between doing his job and doing the right thing. He ends up going above and beyond. He ends up getting on a getting on a dispatch or whatever, and trying to get a hold of a shelter. And there's plenty of them. Plenty of them that will take her in, her and her son. And he winds up getting on the phone with one. He winds up letting her stay on the bus. And I happen to walk past her, you know, to go sit down. And me and this other woman. And she wakes up. She looks at me and, you know, she says, "Hey, how you doing?" And, you know, she's trying to have a conversation. And I just, you know, look at her and I say, "Hey, I'm fine," you know. Then I sort of just blow it off. And she was like, "I'm just trying to talk, you know. Want to get to know somebody." And unfortunately, I had the wrong mindset. You know, and unfortunately, I thought she was, I honestly thought she was a drug addict, honestly. And because that's what I run into, mostly. That's mostly what I run into. But me taking it that way, I shouldn't have taken it that way. But like I said, so she laid down and she went to sleep. And our son is just walking back and forth in the back of the bus, in the back of the bus, you know, he's moving. He's a little guy, he's probably around one or two, probably around three. And he has his cell phone and he's just being a kid. Happy little kid. And I grab him, I stop him from falling, I pick him up, and I sit him down in the seat, like right real close to me, just in case he decides to, you know, get a little wild or whatever. His mother's still asleep. Me and the little guy start watching cartoons on his cell phone. We start watching cartoons, and he shows me his cartoon, Fox getting his teeth pulled, and the adventures of this fox not wanting to go to the dentist. So we sitting there watching it, laughing. And next thing I know, his mother wakes up because of these three ignorant ass teenagers. Sees her laid across all of her belongings, and then sees me playing with this little guy who was obviously her, as you can tell, playing with this little kid. So she jumps up and, you know, asks her son if she's okay, this and that. And he looked at her and he gave her a thumbs up and he waved at the teenagers, and me and him were still watching cartoons. And she looks at me and she was like, "How old are you?" And, you know, I told her, you know, I'm 39. She was like, "I'm 28. And I asked her, "Was she okay?" She said, "Yeah, I'm fine. I just, you know." And I asked her, "Was she gonna take the bus driver's, you know, accept his help?" Because most people, especially when, you know, there are eyes on them, they, "Oh, I'm not homeless," or, you know, "I'm not this or not that." She looked at me and she said, "Yeah, I'm gonna accept his help." And, you know, she looked, she said, thank you for watching my son. She's like, "I'm just tired. And, you know, I gotta get off the bus and go on about my way." But right before I got off the bus driver came back there and he said, I got on the phone with the shelter. I got a friend of mine that's gonna meet me, and he's going to take you to the shelter. The shelter is like, I actually just walked past it, but where I was on the bus, it wasn't close, and I don't think she would have been able to walk there last night. But had I had I just opened up and just had that initial conversation with her, because looking in her eyes, she wasn't a drug addict. Possibly her mother or whoever she was living with put her out because of, you know, the style of clothes she had on wasn't old, or her coat was dirty, but it wasn't like filthy, but still. And her son was clean. Looked like she really kept good care of him. But and I'm trying to find the words to not come across as an arrogant asshole who thinks this is happening to him because I'm chosen or whatever. I don't want to come across as that. I don't think I do. You know, you guys wouldn't listen, and I wouldn't be accepted as I am with this podcast if I came across as that. But each and every time this happens, it just sort of stops me, so to speak, and just, you know, first I thank God, and hopefully I'm teaching my children and the people that are close to me that, you know, the choices you make in life, the people you choose to be around, the things that you allow happen, you know, they have repercussions. And even as myself and my wife and other friends and family of mine who are adults, we still have to be mindful of our words and our choices, because we never know how long those things last. Never know how long those things last. And for myself, you know, choices and things that you say, they tend to, you never know when you're going to be faced with what you did or what you said. You know, as I've found out recently with problems, you know, that I've had at work or with my wife or whatever, you know, things from the past pop back up, and it's like, but it was a long time ago. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how long ago it was. If you didn't face it when you need to face it, it's gonna come back. And it may come back even worse. You know, it may come back even worse. You never know. So that's why I'm so mindful of my choices and my words lately. I say lately, because no one's perfect. You know, we all make mistakes, and we all tend to not think things are as serious as they are in the moment. So, you know, hopefully she accepted the help, like she said, and her and her son got the chance to spend the night, you know, at least in a bed instead of on a bus. Super Bowl just ended. It was a pretty good game. I kind of wanted the underdog to win and the Bengals, and they had the opportunity, but you know, everybody was looking at it like, hey, you can, the Aaron Donald factor, Matt Stafford, the OBJ factor, the, you know, being in LA and stuff like that, you know. It was all written for that. I mean, a lot of people say the NFL is fixed. A lot of people say sports is fixed. I'd look at the money factor, and there's a lot of truth to that. But anyway, that's nowhere near where I was going with that topic. The NFL has been in a little bit of hot water lately. It all started with the ex-coach, the Miami Dolphins, Brian Flores, African-American coach. Not many of them in sports, and not many of them in the NFL. Head coaches, I'd say. He was let go from the Miami Dolphins after leading them to winning records his first two seasons. A lot of people say he was let go unjustly. A lot of people say he was let go because of how he treated his players. The way that he spoke to his players. He didn't coddle his players. He didn't baby them. And I'm going to say this. Those are grown men. They don't need to be coddled. They don't need to be babied. They don't need, in that sense, when you're playing professional football, you kind of don't need to be treated like you're playing peewee, Pop Warner, so to speak. You need to be nurtured then. By the time you get to the NFL, you should already be fully grown. Not to say that you need to be mistreated, kicked and ridiculed like certain coaches did their players. I believe Urban Myers, he kicked a player during practice, or berate them like Matt Nagy of the Bears used to treat Mitchell Trubisky, and really just let him know that it's his fault the team doesn't have the success and this and that, when it was obviously Matt Nagy, obviously. But he tried to paint Mitchell as the scapegoat, which I never thought he was. That's why I'm kind of glad he's gone. On to a new regime now. New regime, but same problem in the NFL. Same problem has been that way. And honestly, I see it being noticed, this particular problem, but seeing it and doing something about it is two completely different things. Out of 32 teams, there are now three minority coaches. So it kind of always been 3 to 5, really. But when this happens, and the only reason why it's a little different now is because Brian Flores has decided to sue the NFL for discrimination and a lot of other things. He received a text message from the coach of the New England Patriots, Bill Belichick, congratulating him on getting the head coaching position for the New York Giants. In that screenshot, Brian Flores' response was, "Thank you, coach, but I don't interview for them for another week, basically. You know, have you heard anything?" Coach Belichick's response was, "Wrong, Brian," pretty much, because he also had Brian Dabble's number in his phone. So I guess he saved them both under Brian. Hey, I've made that mistake too with friends of mine named Nick. Friends of mine named Brandon. Made that same mistake, you know. Didn't put a last name in there. I was like, all right, whose number is this? But anyways, so I understand Bill's problem there. But Brian Flores never interviewed for the job. Well, he didn't interview for the job. Brian Dabble had already received the job. They only interviewed Brian Flores for that job and others because he got an interview with the Bears as well. They only interviewed him and other minority coaches because of the Rooney Rule. Basically, the Rooney Rule in the NFL is implemented to make sure that everyone gets an interview. That's it. It's not there to guarantee you get a job. It's guaranteed you get an interview. Because if it was guaranteed you get a job, I don't think I would be doing what I'm doing now. I'd go for the highest paying job and, you know, the highest paying job I can get. Or something that I've, even though I've been in my job 20 years, I'm not saying that I would rather have something else. No, I love my job. But I'm saying, though, if there was a rule in place that just because you interviewed for a job, you got it. You know, like that. I'm going to say that. So when I say that, the rule is implemented that every team must interview a minority coach for a vacant head coaching position or a vacant position pretty much on the team. Mostly as head coaches, though. So when that happens, and every year we only get 1, 2, or 0 African-American coaches hired, everybody starts screaming that the Rooney Rule needs to change. Rooney Rule needs to change. No, the Rooney Rule doesn't need to change. It doesn't need to change, the Rooney Rule. It needs to go away. Because I don't want to be interviewed just because I'm black. I want to be interviewed because of my qualifications. I want to be interviewed because of my ability to lead. I don't want to be checked off. I don't want to be a quota, so to speak. So, what people don't understand about that, just that you have to interview a minority coach. So the three minority coaches are Mike Tomlin, who still coaches the Steelers, Lovie Smith, who coaches the Houston Texans. Welcome back, Lovie. Love Coach Lovie. And I believe his name is Mitchell McDonald, one of them. And he coaches the Miami Dolphins. Oddly enough, completely different character from Brian Flores. Completely different. Brian Flores seems to be a no-nonsense disciplinarian type person who expects results. Michael McDonald, he's a minority coach, but talking to a friend of mine a few weeks ago, he was like, hey, did you see who the Miami Dolphins hired for their position? I said, yeah. He's like, what do you think of that? I was like, well, you know, they hired a minority. And he was like, what do you mean? He's not minority. He's a white guy. And I'm like, no, he's not. He's biracial. No, he's not. This and that. So I'm like, okay, whatever. Look it up. You know, looked it up. And in his introductory, well, one of his press conferences, he was saying, well, I don't see myself as black. I don't see myself as white. I see myself as human. And he was saying how he didn't have to face the injustices that his mother and father faced. And he's like 36 or something like that. So on one hand, I can understand what he's saying. I completely understand where he was coming from when he's saying, well, I never really had to face the injustices that my parents faced. I consider myself a human being first. I say that all the time. I consider myself a human being first. And I get the hate that this man gets. Your eyes aren't open. You need to wake up and see the world. You need to look at the world for what it is. The world isn't a place that accepts. You're not accepted for who you are. You're looked at as a black man first. You get treated the same way that, you know, everyone gets treated. And when I, unfortunately, and I say unfortunately because I hate having to defend myself. But let's get one thing out the way. Should the NFL change their hiring process? Yes. They should change their hiring process. They should have the players there as well. Or at least the team captains. Do I relate to you? Can I relate to you? Because you have a league that's predominantly black. Predominantly. And you have people at the helm head coaches and owners who don't understand your history, who don't understand your background, your neighborhood, your family life. Hell, they can't even have a conversation with you at times. Should they have more people that comes from that background or can understand them? Yes, they should. I'm not necessarily saying that has to be a black coach, but when you have these, you know, these interviews, don't just have your owner and your GM there. Have players there. Let that coach spend time with the team. Let that happen. And then if the players come back with enough votes and enough positive things to say, then yeah. Then let's consider hiring this person. But let's interview at least 5 people. And let's take them through that same process. You don't have to rush into those things. Because looking at, you know, my team, I'd say a couple of those hires were rushed. I'd honestly say a couple of those were rushed. I'd say Matt Nagy was rushed a bit. You know, I'd definitely say, I can't really say John Fox was rushed because he had a tenure. But the coach right after John Fox was rushed, for sure. And I honestly forgot his name. I'm like looking it up. But Trestman. Yeah, Mark Trestman. There we go. He was rushed. But anyway. I'd say that should be the hiring process there. Allow everyone to get a feel for this coach and stuff like that instead of just 2 or 3 people in the organization. Because he's not really going to be dealing with those 2 or 3 people in the organization. He's going to be dealing with the players. Regardless of your background. So they should do away with the Rooney Rule because of that reason from, you know, Brian Flores. He was just brought in because just to fill the quota. They had already hired Brian Daboll before he was even interviewed. And like I said, that's horribly wrong. So everyone should get looked at. The players should pick who they want to lead them. Like I said, these are grown men. They're able to make a decision. They know football better than the GM and the owner because they're involved in it more, in the day by day and the everyday. They're just involved in the football operations, things of that nature. They're not out there playing the game. So I feel, you know, the players should be involved in that as well. So you're not just interviewed. You're not just brought on because you're black or because you're Asian or American Indian or whatever. You're brought on because you can lead and you can relate to the players. Like I said, a lot of the times you have head coaches, owners, GMs who don't relate to these players. And that causes a rift, that causes dissension, that causes, you know, idiotic trades and releases and stuff like that. You know, I look at it same way I look at my job, so to speak. Am I in my position because I'm a black man? No. I'm not in my position because I'm a black man. I'm in my position because of my ability to lead. I was brought to the location that I was brought to for my ability to lead. The way that I relate to people. It's not really predominantly black. So there's a mix here. Young, old, different backgrounds, different races. And and I'm, you know, thriving here. Not just in my department, but, you know, at my job as well, overall, with everything that I do. But like I said, do I feel I was brought on as just that? No, I don't. No, I don't. But hey, good morning, bro. But like I said, that should be done away with. I'm just now getting to the gym. It's like 5 something in the morning. This is the part where motivation sort of stops. Discipline is now. You know, but motivation sort of gets you going, but discipline gets you growing. I know it sounds stupid, but it's true. No, I don't want to get up every day and go to the gym, but it's discipline. It's my vision. It's purpose. Let's go. It's the first session of the day done. Now I'm headed to work. I got a few more things I want to discuss in this episode. I know it sort of feels like a vlog. That's why I wish I was documenting this, you know, like video wise, you know, feel a little bit better. But now I'm not going to call this episode a day in the life, but another quick focus session. A good 35 minutes. Not long enough to call it, you know, grueling or taxing or anything like that. Just enough to stay on point. You know, because as I was focused on what I was doing, everything was in a pattern. It was timed. It was focused. I knew what I wanted to do. But I saw too many people walking around trying to mimic what others were doing, or either watching people or whatever, but nobody was really zeroed in. It was a few people. And I sort of see that a lot, not just at the gym, but in just everyday life in general. Not too many people are zeroed in and focused. And I'm just now becoming one of those people that are zeroed in and focused, just because I've had almost 2 months straight of a complete, can I say cleansing of my life? Because I wasn't really that bad, but I just had to clean up some habits, so to speak. So just almost 2 months of complete focus isn't nowhere near long enough for me to pat myself on the back or say congratulations or anything like that, because I'm not 2 months focused or 2 months clean from an addiction or anything like that. Those people deserve the congratulations and everything like that. I got a friend of mine who's 3 months clean of drugs, another friend who's 5 months clean of alcohol abuse, another friend who's 1 week removed from not crying about his divorce. So I am nowhere near congratulating myself. I'm just trying to stay consistent, just as those people are, just as you are, just trying to stay consistent with every day, making sure you pay attention to every second, making sure you pay attention to everything you see, because you never know. Any given moment, it can go up, it can go down. But just like I said, just be prepared, be ready, be in the moment. I wish I had a... I wish I kind of did have that video of my day, that this vlog, so you can see the things that happen. Because there comes a point in your life where you're going to have to prove who you are, what you say. And unfortunately, those things happen. Unfortunately, men are going to have to be faced with the things that they say. Like whether it's how well endowed you are or how long you can last in the bedroom. Eventually, you're going to have to sleep with someone to prove that point or show that. Eventually, you're going to have to prove that you can bench press a certain amount of weight. Eventually, you're going to have to prove that you can do the things that you say you can do. And if you come up short, you know, the one thing that hurts that men sort of take, you know, sort of just stock in a lot is our pride, you know? Pride is the first thing. You know, your pride comes before the fall, so to speak, as they say. And unfortunately, that happened today. I had a conversation with a couple of friends of mine at work, and it was about just protecting yourself, because this particular individual, you know, is in the armed forces, you know, tries to talk of him, speak of himself in a manner of, you know, I don't want to hurt you, this and that, or I know ways to hurt you. You know, I'm taking this class or that class or this or that, or I have this or I have that. And I always tell him, good friend of mine, but I always tell him that does you no good when it's time. When that bell rings mentally and it's time for you to prove, you're going to have to prove that. You're going to have to prove why you walk around with weapons and why you speak to yourself in this manner, or why you know, you're going to have to prove it. And unfortunately, that happened today. I was working and, you know, I see a couple of other employees just looking down the way of the store. And I said, what y'all looking at? And they said, Harrison, go. And I take off and I run without even knowing what I'm running to. I'm just running towards noise. And I see three individuals arguing. And without even assessing the situation, I immediately grab the guy that they were arguing with, pull him aside, and lead him out of the store to talk to him to see what happened, even though I know what happened. He got caught stealing. And, you know, once we catch a thief, they're going to get all emotional and pull money out of their pocket and this and that. Just because you got a crumpled up 20 in your pocket don't mean you're going to spend it in this store. So I get him out the store. He starts crying on my shoulder, talking about some injustice and all of this stuff. How he's sick of being profiled and all of this. How he lost his daughter's Christmas gifts and birthday gifts and stuff like that in the store. And all it was a red pillow. It was odd. But anyway, it was small, like the pillow size of your head. I guess it was a thought that counts. But anyways, neither here nor there. So I get this individual out of the store and I come back into the store to see if, you know, my employees and my friends are okay. And next thing I know, they start, you know, they're very emotional. So I'm like, what happened to you guys? Why are you emotional? Why are your clothes messed up? Talking to the two individuals. And they tell me what happened. So when I say, when you speak of yourself in certain ways, in certain manners, when you try to be bigger than who you are and what you are, gonna have to prove it. And unfortunately, that happened today, to where they were tested, like physically, and they did nothing. They did nothing. So when you say you have all of this training and all of this stuff that you're prepared for, when it comes down to it, when that fight or flight kicks in, you do nothing. And the one thing that hurts you more, you're not in physical pain, but your pride. And the fact that everyone's seen you go through something that you said you knew how to handle. You do nothing. And I was hurt. I was emotional because I felt, in a way, responsible. Because in my mind, when I leave my house, I tell myself, I'm coming back. And I know what I'm prepared to do to get back. But I also know that I must handle things mentally. You guys have heard me speak to plenty of people. You heard me. You know, I mean, if you follow me on Instagram, you've seen me tell plenty of stories. I don't walk around like I'm a big scary individual, or I don't try to brag about things that I'll do to people or the things that I've done to people. Even though a lot of you see me training and stuff like that, that's just me. That's just what I love to do. But I don't, I honestly don't do it for the physical part of it. I do it for the mental part. I mainly do it because of what I have to go through on a daily basis and what I know I have to go through on a daily basis, because that's going to come a point in time where I'm going to have to handle myself in that situation. And a lot of the times, just being around weights, it's not the physical, it's the mental, because of everything that I go through as a husband, father, you know, son, brother, everything I go through, it's not just the mental, it's the physical part, it's more mental than anything. It just prepares me for every day, every second. So after that whole incident, it's going through my head that I know what I was prepared to do. But you as a man, you should also know what you're prepared to do, because you have to make it home yourself. And when you're crying to me that you froze, you froze. You can't freeze in the position that you're in. You can't freeze in that position. Because without giving away too much of information, because these two men are friends of mine. When you're in certain positions in life or occupations in life and you're expected to be able to handle situations, when situations happen and you freeze, it may not be a matter of life and death in that moment, but what if and when it is a life or death matter, you're going to have to prove it at a point in time. Why you chose what you chose. Why you say you are who you say you are. The only thing I say I am is a man. Flawed, scarred. It's the only thing I say I am. Is a man. The only thing I have to give is all of myself. So in saying that, I know every day I walk out of my house, there's a possibility I may not make it back. No, I'm not a cop, not a firefighter. I'm not a gang member, gangster, criminal, or anything other such. You still have to have that mentality that it's war every time you step out on the streets. No matter where you're from, what occupation you have, where you live, your social status or anything. It's a matter of life and death for you out there. Male, female, young, old. You must carry yourself with that mentality that sort of kind of these days are the days of old where you have to survive. You have to. You have to. And a lot of the times, you gotta be a little cold, as I was in the story that I told you about myself and the woman that I met last night. And then you have to be understanding and nurturing, as I also told you about how that story guided me to that side, the understanding and nurturing. Once you assess and understand, you sort of handle things differently once you assess and understand situations. No matter how fast your brain computes things and gets things in order, eventually you're going to have to, okay, you attacked it this way, but do it this way now. So, just like I've always said, just be prepared for anything to happen at any given moment. Be prepared. Be prepared. And I always tell people, be prepared for the better. But unfortunately, you got to be prepared for the worst as well. Because it's also going to happen. That's also possible. That's also a possibility that things can. And things can't. Either go your way or they won't go your way. To lighten the mood, I had a person ask me this morning, you go to the gym damn near every day before work and you still work. What are you trying to prove? I came across a quote before I tell you the answer I gave him. Not really a quote, it's just something somebody said. Even as you make progress, you need the discipline to keep from backtracking and sabotaging the success that's happening. Backtracking. Okay, I got it. I'm good. I don't need to train today. I don't need to drink as much water today. I don't need to do as many push-ups or count my steps. I can eat a little, you know, I can have a snack here or there. I can slack. Do you want your goals, the things that you want in life? Would you take a day off? Would you slack? Would you let things ease a little bit? No. When you have something that you want in life, and like I told you guys a few episodes ago, I want this podcast to go places that I can't even fathom. I want my life, my personal life, to go places I can't even fathom. I want the supplement company that I have contract with. I want to be in a very integral part of their success. I'm not dreaming in a way of comfortable anymore. My dreams scare the fuck out of me. Because it's me, it's my wife, it's my children, it's my mother, it's my brother, it's my sister, it's my friends, it's my family, But it's doing things and having, not so much having the material things, but life is different. And the one way life can be different, I have to attack every day with 100% of me. I can't slack. I can't slack. All of those motivational pictures and quotes, all of those people you see on social media, all of the lies they tell, some of them anyway. What is the one thing that everybody says that seems to just sound good? Keep going. Keep going through the good, through the bad. Keep going. Consistency, dedication, desire, discipline. Those things make sense. Wanting to attain the things that you have is the lifestyle that you have. I want to attain the things that I want. The life that I want. The things that I want my wife to see. The things that I want my children to see. The life I want, the things I want to give to my mother, my little brother, not so much material, but just life. Just life. Yeah, doing things here or there, but life. That's what gets me up at 3 o'clock in the morning now. That's what's pushing out a little bit, you know, more frequency with the podcast. Hopefully to help this person, help that person. That's what keeps me going when I get those questions when I walk in the door at 6 o'clock and gym closed instead of work closed. You go to the gym every morning. You got to be at work at 6 o'clock in the morning. What time do you wake up? 3. Man, when you tell you taking time away from your wife. No, I'm not. Not anymore, I'm not. And I'm working a lot less, too. I took the hit on a couple of extra $100 a week, because I'm not working the overtime. But what's happening? More life, like I said, more time with my wife, more time with the children, more time with my family, more off days. So I'm actually recovering from working so much, and I'm actually recovering from training so much. And now, as I look at the time that I've clocked in with the gym, or the time that I've put in with my body and my mental and the things that I'm writing down and the things that I'm saying with this podcast and just the progress that I'm making in life, that's what it's about. It's not about looking a certain way. It was never about looking a certain way. It was always, what's the one thing that I can do that I can control to help me get towards the next step? And it's just keeping in my head that I'm gonna make it. I always thought my age was gonna be a detriment, but it's not. It's not. It's just taking me further and further away from the life that I already expected to have. And the one way that I can get it is if I keep pushing myself and keep pushing myself, but do it right. No burnouts. I was already expected to have a burnout, and it's February 15th. I've been on this road, this grind, this way. This consistency has been going on for almost 2 months. And say it takes 21 days for you to actually put yourself into another form. Okay, we're going to get up at this time. You don't even need an alarm no more, really. I popped up this morning at 3-something. Went back to sleep, true enough, but I popped up this morning at 3-something. All right, let's go. My mind was like, all right, let's go. I made a post in the gym this morning. Of course I'm tired. Of course I want to stop. But you don't, because at this point in time, if you give up now, you may as well not even start again. You may as well not even, all right, let's go, let's do it again. No, there is no more again. No more. There is no more. No more do-overs. Ran out of extra lives. Ran out of quarters. No more continues. No more save points. You have to keep going. You have to. You have to keep going. Because one of these days you're going to wake up and you're going to say that thing, and you're going to get that email, you're going to get that phone call, you're going to answer that phone call, you're going to answer that email, you're going to answer that direct message, you're going to answer this, whatever, you're going to follow this person, and that person is going to connect you to this or whatever. However the next step of your life is going to go, it's going to go that way because you are consistent with everything that you do. If you're single, you're going to put your life in perspective to get the proper relationship for yourself. If you're married, you're going to keep doing the things, consistency, and compound them with more consistency that you're going to keep going. It's like I tell you guys, relationships are every day. Relationships are every second. Relationships are every moment. You can't expect to be the same and get different results. I tell you guys that all the time. You cannot expect the same for different. If you continue with the same effort, same energy, same procrastination, same I don't want to, same I'll do it later, later will never come. Just like I'm finding out, if you tell yourself you're going to do it tomorrow, by the time you get to tomorrow, it's now. So just do it now. Don't wait. Get it done. Get it done or get it started. So the last thing I want to speak on is sort of a hot, I guess I could say hot button or whatever, is the comments made by Joe Budden about the vaccinate. Joe Budden, wow, Joe Rogan. The comments made from Joe Rogan about the vaccination and what he said about that. And then what was brought up about from that was his use of the N-word. And his vast use of the N-word we started to notice a trend. And how he's free to say it and how this or that. But, and how certain celebrities were so quick to try to get him outed, get him canceled. But once they get the interviews, once they get the CNN, once they get this or that, oh, I don't think he's racist. I think he was just using it in the context to make light of these situations or the things that we go through or the things that this or that. I don't need nobody else to tell me what I went through or to tell me that, oh, this needs to change. True, we need allies, but I also don't need my allies pointing out the things that I got a problem with. I don't need that. True enough, to be an artist on Spotify, and my podcast is on Spotify, but like I said, artist as a musician, they make half of a penny revenue for each song played. So half of a penny is damn nothing, but Spotify is sort of built on artists, music. Podcasts are sort of secondary. But Joe Rogan makes $100 million, has a $100 million contract through Spotify, which is built off the backs of and the content of musicians and stuff like that, and playlists and comedians and all of this stuff. They make 0.1% of a penny for their streams and stuff like that. But someone like Joe Rogan gets a $100 million contract. No artist has contracts with Spotify. So I kind of understand that argument. But I also understand the argument that this man's use of the N-word is kind of alarming. And then when he came out with the statement saying, I didn't notice it, but once you put it like that, it looks bad. Just like the coach that I spoke of earlier in this episode, well, my mother faced racial issues. My father faced racial issues, but I didn't. Just because one thing isn't bad to you doesn't mean it's not bad to another person. And I kind of didn't want to talk about Joe Rogan, didn't care, to be quite honest with you, because what we feel isn't going to change the minds of the millions and millions of people that listen to Joe Rogan, black and white. Millions and millions of people that agree with everybody that you don't agree with. Your opinion doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. Sometimes you make enough noise to get things to change, but it doesn't work all of the time. So the one thing that I'm going to say is you can turn me off. You don't have to listen. You can turn Joe Rogan off. You don't have to listen. I don't listen to every genre of music because every genre of music isn't for me. I don't listen to any more podcasts because I want to focus on mine. But you have the right to listen. You have the right to say. You have the right to be whatever, whoever, however you want. So the next time, and I'm not trying to tell you how to live, what to do, what to say, what to believe or whatever, or how to address things. Just turn it off. It's as simple as that. If you don't like everything or anything, turn it off. Don't watch. Don't be a part of it. Don't let it be a part of your every day. It's okay to not know everything in this day and age where you feel you need to know everything. It's okay to just not be a part of a conversation. People have conversations at work about TV shows, Power or whatever's being watched these days. I don't watch it. People have conversations about Star Wars, never seen it. People have conversations about a lot of movies, a lot of things that I just don't watch. And I'm okay with that. I don't need to know everything about everything just to have an opinion about it that someone's going to disagree with that I'm going to get pissed about. I don't need that. So, just be mindful of things that you say, things that you see. Be and stay prepared. Love life. And live with purpose. We'll be okay. Patience is a podcast.